If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Que ven en Bing. Me llamo el Tototito que ven en Bing. Quiero decirles que el ojo que tengo bien hecho me da que ver en Bing. Mira Tijuana, componer lo que ven en Bing. Quiero agarrarme toda una puta ya que ven en Bing en Tijuana para poner. Hola, papá, que ven en Bing.
What the hell?
That's a very interesting question. I don't know.
Oh, say does that banner rock it red flare for the land of the free.
Play ball.
This is horrible. I want to go out and puke right now.
Good morning.
There's no turning back, no matter how much we wish we could.
And now.
All right, now the moment you've all been waiting for. Lights, music.
Our feature presentation.
Good morning, everybody.
8 seconds. I counted it.
He's
eight
good.
Seconds. 8 seconds.
Well, what 8 seconds?
You got here 8 seconds before you had to say the first words out of your mouth.
I need to learn to not waste so much time.
You had 8 more seconds. You could have stayed at home.
You had another cup of coffee and some Fruit Loops.
I can cut that down to 3 or 2. Now I'm not wasting so much time. I'm all good. Yeah, that's never my plan. And every day I think, you know what? Tomorrow's going to be different.
Do you really?
Every single day.
You know, that's the definition of insanity, according to Albert Einstein.
Yes.
Yes. Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And yet, I get here with 8 seconds, so then...
Where's the victim? Is that what you're saying?
No,
where's the harm?
I'm saying, well, yeah, where's the harm, but...
No harm, no foul?
Where's the... why do I need to get...
Where's the
motivation?
Downside?
Motivation, thank you.
I see.
Where's the motivation? Because I still make it on time.
Right.
If one car pulled in front of me, I wouldn't have made it.
That's true.
So... At least that's not stressful. All right. We're going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067 in just a second. I don't know if you saw this particular dude in the news, but I wanted to bring him up. Guy sets record for most coin shoved into a belly button.
Yeah. He sure has a deep belly button.
He has he put 30 quarters in his belly button. Now, here's the question for me. Who ever thought of that
as
record?
As a record?
At the very beginning.
Have you seen this dude?
Yes, he's fat.
All he does is sit around his house and look down at his giant gut and say, I wonder if I could stick in there.
Oh!
And he's looking around the house and he says, oh, let me see, a can of Lysol? No. Let me see, some grape nuts? No. That won't work. Hey, I got a couple rolls of quarters here. Let's see what happens now.
You know who held the record before this guy?
Who?
This guy.
He is the belly button king.
He broke his own record, yeah.
Wow.
He put 20 in before.
Sure.
So one day he was just sitting around going, you know what? I think I've gotten fatter. I bet I could put more quarters in there now.
I have $5 in loose change in my fat folds. Let me see if I can wrangle in some more. Where's he from?
Arkansas.
What a surprise. You know what? This is why the terrorists hate us. It really is. And sometimes I feel like wrapping a towel around my head. That's all I'm saying.
Come on now.
I'm just
You're not
saying.
Proud of this guy?
No,
he
I'm
set
not.
A record. He did something with
because
his life.
Because he's an enormous fat pig who's just disgusting and lazy.
He did something with his life is
no,
all I'm
he
saying.
He didn't do anything with his life.
He does.
The fact that he didn't do anything with his life that made this possible.
He has a world record. Do you have a world record?
I'm sorry to say I do not.
All right then.
That's
He's a
good
step
point.
Ahead of you.
Like maybe, Dave maybe. Tried twice and he doesn't
That's
have a world
right.
record. This
That's
guy
right.
actually succeeded.
What if there's an angriest man in the world record? Because I think I could shoot for that one. Because I'm really getting peeved off these
then
days.
Then you got Lewis Black.
That's true.
So,
he crushes me at that too.
It's tough to make your own mark in the world. And this guy did it. And you're just trying to hold him down.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Why do you do that? All right, your phone calls, 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. It is Kevin and Bean's What It Do Next.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, what it do, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
So, what it do,
what it do, nephew.
Dying to get up to the slopes and snowboard.
Mm. Woohoo!
Can't wait. It's that time of year.
It's just so much snow up there. You just say, I gotta just get my board or my skis and just start going downhill.
It's not quite that time yet.
Oh,
but we do have a pair of tickets to lift tickets to Mountain High for calling today at 1-800-520-1067. And then we pick the best caller of the day and you get a pair of anytime season passes.
Nice.
Now that's what you want.
Yes. Yeah. Mountain High is celebrating the return of winter with their $299 anytime season pass sale now through October 31st. You can get more information at mountainhigh.com.
Okay.
So any day you want to go in the entire season, that's not bad.
I'm predicting a harsh winter. I think they're going to have a lot of snow up there.
You do?
Yeah.
Why?
Just because the way this summer was so sort of honked up weather-wise.
It was weird, yeah.
I think we're going to get the inches dumped on us.
Oh!
let's move on.
Yeah, exactly.
And not in our belly button either.
All right, let's talk to DJ. We took a call yesterday from a guy who was an upset Raiders fan.
Raiders!
Said, it's getting tough to be a Raiders fan.
Yeah. Is there any other kind of Raiders fan?
Like, it's getting tough, but yes. Hi, DJ.
What's good, nephew? What's good, Callie? What's good, Ralph?
What's good, nephew? What is good?
Yeah. It's early in the season. These Raider fans are already calling them how they could have, would have, and should have won.
Yeah.
I just want to remind them that they suck, and I got a couple key points of why they suck.
Oh, now, wait a minute. I thought you were a Raider fan. You're not.
No.
Okay.
No.
Who's
no.
your team?
Cowboys.
All right. Just as bad. All right, go ahead.
But, the Raiders have the second highest number of criminal incidents in the NFL at their home games, other than the Philadelphia Eagles.
Sure.
Team.
That's
we're number one. We're number one.
Raiders can't even be number one at that.
No, they can't.
They draft out of San Quentin prison.
Sure, there's that.
Okay.
And they're never going to win without the Rat Davis as their owner.
That's the problem to me. To me, the owner is the problem. You get rid of Al Davis, you get a real owner in there, a guy who really does care about excellence, and the whole thing could turn around.
Right.
Here's the thing. You know, they used to win all the time with Al Davis as their owner.
Yeah, but
it's
that's
not
back
as if there's
was...
a culture losing because of him. I think it is his constant necessity to be involved with the day-to-day operations of the team that is a distraction to most coaches and players.
And he's gotten much older.
Yeah.
And much less with it. And, you know, he needs to sell that team. That's all. Yeah. They don't deserve the fans they have.
But DJ's got a point is the fact that, look, 16 teams out of the NFL, all their fans are feeling that way today.
Yeah.
The first game of the season, there's a lot of teams that are struggling and trying to get in shape and trying to get their precision down. So, you know, all is not lost yet.
It's three or four games before you can really kind of get on a roll.
Really?
Easily.
In the NFL, yeah.
Right.
Go Cowboys. All right. Good luck with that, DJ.
Thanks, man.
Thank you for the call. All right, let's go to Jason. Hi, Jason.
What did you do, nephew?
What did you do? That's what we should call this segment. What did you do?
But that's me, and we have Snoop. You know, we're basing the other one on Snoop Dogg.
But you're funnier.
Please.
Snoop's cooler, but you're funnier.
What's going on, Jason?
I was calling about Monday Night Football because I'm a Chiefs fan, and I was seriously considering throwing in the towel before last night's performance, but... now that they're the only team in the NFL that holds an outright lead in their division, I think I'll stick around for another week.
Wow, that's nice of you.
You're quite the fan.
Yeah, they earned one more week.
They earned you one more week of rooting.
That's dedication.
Yep.
Week to week.
How's that new quarterback working out for you?
We had a defense last night.
Yeah.
All right. You didn't play?
Matt Castle, you talking about?
Oh, no. I thought it was
Matt Castle's the quarterback for the Chiefs.
Yeah, he played for him, but he didn't do too well.
Former USC quarterback, Matt Castle. Former Patriot.
Hey, by the way, did you guys see the baseball game last night?
No.
Nope.
Yeah, neither did anybody else.
Thank you for the call.
It's baseball.
Yeah. I watch, you know, I might watch, say, it's World Series Game 7. You know what I mean? I don't mind going to the park. That's kind of fun. But watch on TV is brutal. Let's go to Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hey, how's it going, Kevin Bean?
Good.
Hi.
What did you do, nephew?
What did you do?
Well, see, I'm a medical marijuana patient, and I got arrested for being a caregiver. Well, my probation officer came by my house last week, and I wasn't home, and she brought the arresting cop. The arresting cop stole some of my probation money that I had left out in my envelope with my probation payment slip.
Are you sure?
Do you know that for a fact?
Yeah, because I made like 40, 50 bucks side money, and I put it in my envelope, and it was tens.
Right.
And I don't carry tens because I'll spend them.
Right.
And I need to pay probation so I stay out of jail.
Uh-huh.
My roommates are going to steal from me because basically if they don't have a roommate, they don't have anyone to pay rent.
So you don't have any evidence. You've eliminated by common sense everything else.
Yeah. By common sense.
Yeah.
So you're saying you've got, on one hand, your shaky roommates, and then you have a police officer, and you think the police officer is the one who stole 40 bucks.
It was 20. It was just
20 bucks.
Well, yeah,
all right. So really, think this through. Think this through. Why is a cop going to jeopardize his career and his standing with his profession to steal 20 bucks from a
Because that's retirement, man.
They have latex gloves when they search their room. And second of all, they need to buy donuts for the precinct.
See what he did? Wow. The old cop donut joke.
Those guys spend a lot of time in the donut.
I mean, just because they probably could, because they figure, hey, there's 410s here. What's he going to notice? Oh, hey, the roommate could take it.
Yeah.
They could do whatever they want. They do whatever they want out in the streets. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, the man's keeping us down.
I think most of them don't, but of course there are always some.
They're not going to steal 20 bucks.
I don't think so either.
The probation officer's mad because the judge allows me to still continue to smoke. Because I'm a valid patient. So,
sure. Hey, we're all valid patients, man.
Oh, no. Have you had 2 colonoscopies at 30 years old?
No.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, I have.
Wow.
it's not fun at all.
By request?
No, not by request. Mm. Not by request.
I got you. Okay.
Thanks a lot, though.
We're suggesting that perhaps you might do a little more questioning of your roommates.
No, I've lived with the guy for 7 years.
All right.
His parents are wealthy and have money. They're offering to buy him a house in Seal Beach.
All right.
So I don't think he needs my 20 bucks.
Well, then ask him for 20 bucks, and they're near square.
Neither does the cop, though. That's our point. Why would the cop take 20? Ralph's right. You run the risk of losing your career. You're going to steal money. It's going to be a lot.
Right. Yeah.
You're going to wait till you bust into some drug den. They've got just stacks and stacks of hundreds.
No, but I wasn't there, and my roommate wasn't even in my room. He was
right, but it's 20 bucks.
Oh, my God.
It's $20.
I think Brian's a lost cause.
All right, never mind.
Smoke up, Brian. Just relax. Just kick back, just spark a big bowl, and just eat some Apple Jacks and relax.
All right, we need to pick the best caller, and I think that one's an easy one. Jason? It has to be Jason, second guy we talked to.
Yes.
That guy. So he's got the... He's got the pair of anytime season passes for Mountain High. So congratulations to you. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah.
We have Internet Roundup for you, a brand new one. We're going to talk to Adam Sessler from G4 about the new video game releases.
Halo Reach.
Halo Reach. We have Epicenter tickets for you coming up in the next hour.
Okay.
We are going to continue to try and figure out the new Yoko Ono yell. It's not a song, is it?
It's nothing to figure out. She's a genius, and it's performance art, and you just don't get it.
We have Tom Beers from A Thousand Ways to Die on the show today.
Yep.
And a Breakfast with Linkin Park.
Oh, you buried the lead.
Little breakfast with Linkin Park on today's show. They're going to play some of their new stuff. Small place, secret location. Listeners get to ask the questions.
Well, there's a rapist in Linkin Park.
That's a housing project. That's not the band. That's something different. So that's coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman is here with our first look today at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, looks like the folks at PETA are at it again. On the Colbert Report, Joe Biden, their vice president, stopped by and did a little bit where he pretended to serve hot dogs to military members in the audience.
Oh, no.
It was a little gag.
Yeah.
Well, PETA has released a press release.
Yeah.
Urging the VP to stop feeding returning U.S. troops fat and cholesterol-laden hot dogs. Give them instead lean, nutritious veggie dogs or other vegan food instead. Listen. I say we bring all the troops home and send all the PETA members over to Afghanistan and have them fight the war for us.
We've said this a million times.
Then maybe they'd be of some use.
We've said this a million times. Great cause. Bad tactics.
But at what point is it stopping a great cause? Because they're just douching it up.
No, it's always a great cause. It's just that they do damage to the cause they're trying to help by being such douchebags.
But what is their cause, really, just if this is what all they spend their time doing?
Yeah, I think it is. It's humane. I mean, they do treatment of animals. This isn't all they do. They do a lot behind the scenes we don't really know about.
Well, they don't do enough behind the scenes, I think, in my opinion. There's more scenes they need to get behind and less scenes they need to get in front of.
It seems like every time they do something like this, that's kind of ridiculous. It wastes your time, and then you go, well, now I'm turned off to that group because they've wasted my time.
That's why every time I read a report like this, I grab a kitten and I beat a puppy to death with it.
You don't do that at all.
That's what I do. I take a kitten and I swing it by the tail and I just keep pummeling a puppy with the kitten by the tail.
I don't think you do.
It is quite the scene, I'll tell you.
That doesn't happen.
The fur really flies. Another day, another dude for Jennifer Aniston.
Oh.
All right.
Apparently, she's got a new boyfriend, if you believe People magazine. She is spending time with a gentleman named Harry Morton, who's 12 years younger than her, and used to be Lindsay Lohan's boyfriend.
Oh.
Really? Really?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Jennifer, are you reduced to Lindsay Lohan's cast-offs?
That's not good.
That's just sad. People magazine says they seem very happy because they both love dogs and the beach. Well, that's all related.
Well, that's it.
To have a successful
that's true.
Relationship.
You can match those two. You're in.
Speaking of Lindsay, Dr. Drew has come forward and started talking about Lindsay Lohan again.
Really?
Yeah. He tells OK Magazine that he believes Lindsay has finally made the right turn.
All yeah, right. We'll see, Doc. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens.
Which turn? Is you mean... This last thing of being in jail and rehab seems to have worked.
And she's now she's sparkly as a new penny.
I hope.
He also hopes that she gets a lot of help and a lot of work. He hopes that maybe someday she can appear on as many TV shows as he does. Which is just not possible.
Way.
You don't wish that on anyone.
You couldn't do it.
No.
It's not physically possible. Speaking of TV shows, Glee in the news. I know. But I love it so much.
It comes back next a week from today.
Yeah, sure does. Corey Monteith, who plays Finn on that show, is apparently enjoying the fruits of his labor. You know, he used to before he got a job on Glee. He was working as a roofer and then a taxi driver and a greeter at Walmart. Those were some of his jobs.
A greeter?
He was.
I thought you had to be like 900 to be a greeter at Walmart.
You just need to have just a wide open schedule with no real demands on your time.
What a
apparently,
boring job.
As a struggling actor, he fulfilled those obligations. Now, he showed up over the weekend with his brand new ride. He's got a cherry red Ferrari, brand new Ferrari that he's tooling around
in. Sure he
does. Particular model he drives comes with a $190,000 price tag.
Wow. Wow.
That's pretty good from Walmart to Ferrari.
You think he goes back to that Walmart and just walks past the greeter and
he
goes?
Just drives by and throws a brick through the window. And also, Glee has announced they're doing another one of their theme episodes. This one, Rocky Horror Picture Show. Woo! Woo!
Right.
Let's do the time warp again. Apparently, they're inviting several members of the original cast to come by and do some guest starring. Meatloaf, apparently, will be in the episode. The Loaf! The Loaf!
Now I'm out.
Barry Bostwick, who played Brad in the original feature film version of that musical, and Susan Sarandon, also apparently in talks to stop by.
All right.
Did you ever see that? Did you ever see Rocky Horror Picture Show?
Mm-hmm. I've seen pieces of it 1,000 times. And
never gone to one of those midnight shows?
No, I've never gone to the midnight show where you throw the toast and all that.
Oh,
no.
So much fun.
Never done that.
Such a good time.
I throw toast at home. So.
And strawberry ice cream.
Yeah, that as well.
I told you last week that Taylor Lautner of Twilight was suing a trailer company because they didn't deliver his trailer to the set on time of his new movie.
Right.
He was suing them for $40,000, and apparently he won his lawsuit. He won $40,000 from the trailer company. However, he said that he doesn't want to appear greedy. He is donating all the money to one of his favorite charities, the Lollipop Theater Network.
The Lollipop
Theater Network.
Theater Network.
Yeah.
Is it a charity?
Apparently it's a... Well, it's the Lollipop Theater. Mike, you used to work at the Lollipop Theater, didn't you? That's where you used to go on stage and suck on lollipops.
You got it.
That's what the kids are calling them these days.
Got it, Sailor.
No, apparently it's a kids theater group. And so he's training young thespians.
What?
Yeah, you heard him.
I had a young thespian once. Turned her right around. You know what I'm saying? Remember when Joaquin Phoenix was on Letterman?
Yes.
How great was that?
Or not.
He was in his I'm Still Here or I'm Not There or Here I Am or whatever that movie he's in now, that documentary.
It annoyed
making,
me so much.
Where he was going from actor to rapper and he had this new persona where he was just sort of a, he looks sort of like a cracked out rabbi.
F*** that guy. What would he need him for?
The dark sunglasses and the sullen attitude.
And he wouldn't talk.
He wouldn't really answer any Dave's
questions.
He wouldn't
answer any questions.
Yeah.
Oh.
And Dave, I believe ended the interview by saying, I wish you could have been here tonight, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
It became so much of a smash hit that on the internet it got about 8 million hits when it was on YouTube. Well, the good news is Joaquin's scheduled to be back on the show tomorrow night.
All right.
On Letterman. And he's also going to have Casey Affleck there talking about the new film, I'm Still Here. So I don't know what we can look forward to seeing, but
are they going
to
do the same? I mean, if they're promoting this movie, this is him being antisocial and all that.
He's still got to be that guy, right?
Wow.
Unless he comes out and says, "Oh, I'm sorry, I did that, Dave. That was just all part of the show."
I'm dying for him to say that anywhere, because until then, I have a bounty on his head.
A bounty? Wow, you are serious. And speaking of TV appearances, Green Day frontman Billy Joe Armstrong will be on NBC's Late Night with Jimmy Fallon tomorrow night. He'll be introducing the cast of American Idiot, of course, the big Broadway show based on the smash hit Green Day album. They're going to do a number from the show. Apparently, Jimmy's doing a week-long salute to Broadway musicals.
Oh, Lisa, you must be so thrilled.
I'm going to watch.
Wow. Really?
Very exciting.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how many of them are Green Day?
Just that one.
Just that one.
All right. The other ones. Like last night, the cast of Memphis performed.
Nope.
And then tonight, it's Sean Hayes of Will and Grace fame performing a song from a musical called Promises, Promises.
He's in that guy. With Kristen Chenoweth.
What do you need him for?
So that's going on Jimmy Fallon.
He's already at that point.
Jimmy is now courting the elusive elderly gay market.
No.
They got a lot of expendable income, you know. For advertisers, that's a very very lucrative market.
Where was it? Was it the Emmys where Fallon did his impression of Billy Joe?
Yes.
Which was pretty good,
wasn't it? Yeah. The lyrics of that song were particularly funny, but his impression was pretty strong.
No. And I couldn't tell if he sings or not. That was my complaint.
Yeah, I wish he had sung more as the host.
Who knew you would want him to host so badly after the MTV Video Music Awards?
That's right.
Oh, he would have been great.
Chelsea Handler made him look like the funniest man in America.
Greatest host ever.
Today's celebrity birthday is actor Dan Cortez. Remember him?
Yeah. I do. What happened to him?
I do remember him, but I'm not sure he deserves it.
He originally had a Real Worlder from MTV.
Right.
And then he got a gig on MTV as one of their hosts of one of their shows.
Right. MTV Sports.
Right. Then he went on to Veronica's Closet with Kirstie Alley. He was a regular on that show.
Right.
He's been an actor for quite a while.
And then
he's celebrating his birthday.
Now he's worked in Vaseline Alley.
Now he's taken over Corey Monteith's job at the Walmart. I think he's now greeting. Yeah. It says here actor Tyler Perry's birthday is today.
But that was more than one.
We said yesterday that it was also his birthday.
Could be, though. You never know. That guy has a lot.
He might have bought an extra one.
That's true.
Just saying, he's so rich, he could have bought himself an extra birthday.
Can you buy a birthday on either side of your actual day?
Yeah. Sure.
Wow.
You've got the right amount of cash. You can go to the birthday registry and just get yourself an extra one.
I think technically his original birthday was yesterday.
It was.
Maybe today.
So today's the faux birthday.
All right.
Bassist Craig Montoya of Everclear is 40 years old today, and singer Amy Winehouse celebrates her 27th birthday.
27.
She looks good. You gotta admit, for 27. She looks fresh and like a spring daisy.
Yeah, because most 27-year-olds just look ragged.
Most 27-year-olds don't have teeth or hair.
She doesn't look good if she was in her 50s, let alone 27.
Yeah. But think of how well-preserved she's going to be with all those chemicals in her body. So that's good news for her. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and we have your tickets for Epicenter. It's a two-day Epicenter 2010. It's a two-day thing. We have two-day tickets and backstage passes for you. You're going to have to earn them, though.
Okay.
We play a little game called Stump Rodney. Rodney is a DJ that works at this radio station.
That's a hard game.
He knows everything about every band, so you're going to have to call in with your trivia question about any of the bands that are playing Epicenter 2010. You can find the list at kevinandbean.com. And call up, and if you can stump Rodney, and you'll get put in a drawing, you might get the tickets.
I thought we wanted to give away tickets.
Well, sometimes we don't, but
all right.
You got to do the best you can.
Okay.
Spencer Pratt is back in the news. He first told people that he was arrested in Costa Rica, and people didn't believe him. Wow, what a surprise.
I didn't believe anything he says.
Right. And this is coming from TMZ, which then says, we're not vouching for Spencer Pratt, but his people tell TMZ he was busted at an airport in Costa Rica for illegal possession of a firearm. Which he was, apparently.
What?
He was booked, processed at a local jail, and later released after turning over the weapons and signing a confession with the DA. Here's his quote. As part of my spiritual cleansing, I've spent the last week living alone in the jungle, reflecting on my past transgressions and working to become a better person. I had to live off the land.
Oh, please.
I had to hunt to survive.
No way.
As I departed the country this morning to continue my spiritual journey, I mistakenly brought my hunting weapons to the airport. It was an honest mistake, and they sent me on my way. On an unrelated note, I'm not allowed in the country anymore, but that's because of the chicken incident.
What? What is that about?
I don't know, but I don't believe a single word that he has to say.
He was not hunting.
No, he stayed. Harvey checked up on him. He was staying at the Four Seasons.
Yeah.
Turns out they've got restaurants. You don't rent room service. You don't really need to go hunt your own food.
Oh, my God.
So let's bring in Spencer. He's a frequent guest on the show and find out just what's going on.
I live and breathe, I would say, pop culture and the entertainment business. I currently am in a partnership with the next Jay-Z. I won't go to a club now for less than $100,000.
You say villain. Some people say jerk. I mean, tomato, tomato.
I'm too rich and I'm too famous to be sitting with these people and cleaning up their in the jungle, my man. And this cast is devaluing our fame right now. I'm sitting next to VH1 comedians that I've never even seen before. I'm a black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I kickbox. I box every day. I don't fear no man.
All right. Yeah. Thank you, Chuck. Woo!
Hey, Spencer.
What?
Sorry, just rappelled in from the ceiling off of my helicopter. Chuck Norris taking care of that. All right. Come back and get me after the bit, Chuck
there's
Norris.
There's a roof above you. There's a roof right above
you. Did you hear the helicopter fly away? A jet-powered helicopter.
Spencer, were you arrested for having a weapon at the airport?
That's to be decided.
Well, no. Were you arrested? I mean, did that happen?
I mean, it's all a matter of perspective.
Were you at the airport
with
weapons?
You say potato, I say potato.
Right. Okay.
No one said potato yet.
I invented kung fu. Neckbeard technique. Kuyai.
Spencer.
Yes.
You were in Costa Rica.
You're looking great, by the way. Did you get a nice tan?
Or Costa Rica.
Have you been vacationing?
I got burned over the weekend.
Looking all good.
Right. Listen, were you in Costa Rica?
I was.
Okay. Were you there with Heidi?
I don't know who you speak of. This Heidi.
The person that you were
close? Personal friend of mine. Good lady. Not with her.
The girl that you were married to that you were then, now have recently been seen in the last couple days walking with.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I'm not at liberty to speak about that with my, being the head of the DEA. I can't really talk about those kind of things. My identity has to stay kind of under wraps.
But we know who you are.
We know who you are.
Oh, that's so funny that the woman's talking to me. Rhinestones on my chest.
What?
Okay.
Ed Hardy up above. Thank you, our father.
All right. You said that you were on spiritual cleansing.
That's
and
right.
That you were out in the woods. And
I had to get
hunt.
Myself centered.
You had to hunt to survive.
You got
to
do what you got to do out there in the jungle.
Right.
Your life's a jungle, Ken Dog.
Uh-huh. Harvey Levin from TMZ double-checked, and you were staying at the Four Seasons. That doesn't seem like you got to hunt your own food.
Axl Rose told me, you know where you are? You're in the jungle, baby. You're going to die.
Right, but
that was just a song. I am a Parisian farmer's market. I'm Farmer John. I'm Frank Farmer, the bodyguard from that movie with Whitney Houston. All right.
Okay. Is this whole story a lie?
Rolex.
What does that mean?
It's a watch company.
I know that, but I'm saying, is any part of the story correct?
Where you went Tom York's eye captain.
What
does the eye captain do?
Tends to eye stuff.
All right, were you
like
in
iPods? Were you in the iPod?
No.
Were you in Costa Rica? Did you have a weapon? Did you take it to the airport? Did you get arrested?
I have a lot of weapons. I keep them on me at all times because I am a crime fighting dog.
But you're not.
I am.
Okay.
I'm Cisco, the crime fighting dog.
But you have.
I have my own theme song. Cisco Nabisco, the crime-fighting dog. I'm lean, I'm mean, crime-fighting machine. Cisco, the crime-fighting dog. Neckbeard!
I don't feel like we're getting anywhere.
Yeah, really. I feel like we're going far away from here.
You got stopped at the airport for half... You've traveled enough to know you can't bring a weapon.
Well, not if... Well, you can if you're a normal person. If you're working for the government, keeping this world safe.
But you're not.
I am.
But you're not.
I am... I'm strapped right now. Click, clack. You know how it goes. Rat-a-tat-tat. Snitches get stitches.
What are you talking
Linda,
about?
Linda, don't look at me like that. You know what I'm saying?
Wait, you're strapped right now? Let me see.
Huh?
Let me see.
Check my technique right there.
There's no gun there.
Desert Eagle.
That's not a Desert Eagle. There's
no gun.
It's
like Don Juan DeMarco told me.
That's not even a 22.
MCO.
Okay, now. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. About an hour from now, we're going to kick off our breakfast with Linkin Park.
All right. Make
sure you're tuning in then.
There's rapist in Linkin Park.
Nope, that's not the case. Linkin Park. That story is about a housing community.
Hide your kids, hide your wife.
Named Linkin Park.
Hide your husband because they're raping everybody out here.
Rodney is in the studio. He has been a DJ at this radio station for 1,000 years.
Rodney on the rock show.
Mainly in the 80s. I guess that was your heyday. That was your time.
All right.
So when you shine. mind?
I hate the 90s.
You didn't like the 90s much, but you're still current. So we're going to have people call in with whatever questions they have about the bands that are playing Epicenter.
All right.
They're going to ask you a trivia question. You're going to shoot them down because you know all the answers. And then hopefully we'll get somebody into the concert.
Wham, bam.
All right, Rodney on the Rock Show.
Nope, Kevin Bean Show.
What?
Let's start with Matt. Hi, Matt.
How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Hey, Kevin. Hey, Bean. Hey, Lisa May. Hey,
Matt.
All right.
A little late on the phone ring sound effect, but okay. you have a question for Rodney. He cannot be stumped.
Yeah, I do have a question.
All right.
All right, Rodney. What movie did Eminem star in?
Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
That's not a movie.
All right.
What movie did Eminem star
Hollywood,
in?
They make movies in Hollywood.
Is that the answer, Matt?
I do. 8 Mile.
8 Mile, correct, yes. All right, so hold on. You're in the drawing. This is for two-day tickets and backstage passes to Epicenter 2010. All right.
Got that one.
You
nailed
did.
It.
You got that one wrong. Let's all go to Tim. Hi, Tim.
Hey, good morning.
You have a question for Rodney.
I do. Greg Graffin, the lead singer from Bad Religion, is a professor at what college?
Haircut 100.
It's not a college.
All right. Haircut University of Haircut 100.
No, still not.
Haircut U.
Tim, is it Haircut U?
It is UCLA.
UCLA.
Haircut 100 State University.
All right, let's move on. We got two people in the drawing now. Rodney, you're not doing as well as usual. Normally, you can't be stumped.
All
but
right.
Margarita is on the line. Hi, Margarita.
Jimmy Buffett.
What?
Jimmy Buffett.
There's been no question.
Oh, I thought that was the question.
No, Margarita is going to ask you a question about one of the bands.
All right.
Here we go.
Okay, the lead singer of Bush, Gavin Rossdale, who is he married to?
Rick Astley.
Is it Rick Astley?
All right.
No, Gwen Stefani.
Gwen Stefani.
Yeah, that's going to give you.
That's
up.
A pretty high profile.
Let you, down.
You go into the drawing. Thank you.
All right, you got Rick rolled.
I'm surprised you know what that is, Rodney.
How dare you?
Let's go to Rob. Hi, Rob.
Hey guys. Good morning.
Stump Rodney.
Rise Against performed the theme song to what cable TV show?
Kid Creole and the Coconuts.
Is that a TV show?
All right.
Is that the answer, Rob?
The answer is Weeds.
Weeds. Yeah.
Kaja Goo Goo.
No, he just gave you the answer. Weeds.
Kate Bush.
All right.
All right.
Let's go to Andrew.
Kenny Loggins.
Hi, Andrew. Listen, there's not a question right now. Hold on.
All right.
All right. Andrew, you have a question for Rodney.
Hey, what was the name of Bush's first CD?
Bananarama.
That's a different band. That's not a CD name.
No, he got it.
That's it.
All right. All right. That's Godhead. I knew it.
What is it, Andrew?
16 Stones.
There you go. Thank you for the call. You're in the drawing. Wow. A lot of people getting in the
there
drawing
are.
Today. Let's go to Kiki. Hi, Kiki.
Hi there. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
All right.
Stump Rodney.
Okay, in 2000, what movie did Jared Leto of 30 Seconds to Mars star in?
Sinead O'Connor.
Is it Sinead O'Connor, Kiki?
No, it's
the movie.
Requiem for a Dream.
Sinead O'Connor, the movie.
Requiem for a Dream.
Yeah, best movie ever.
Right.
But it was
best
a great movie,
movie ever. Take it easy with it. It's
Dream,
the best movie
Dream
ever.
Dream Academy.
No, she already told you what it was.
Billy Ocean.
Stop guessing. Let's go to Ramon. Hi, Ramon.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Rodney, I'd say it's safe to say you're a little off today. A little.
Right.
You've gotten none
got
right.
Them all right.
All right.
Rodney, when did Marshall Mathers win an Oscar for Best Original Song?
Pet Shop Boys.
When? The question is when.
New Order.
Is it New Order? No,
it was 2002.
All right. Thank you for the call. You're in the drawing.
Boomtown Rats.
Let's just do one. Let's just do one more stump, Rodney. Daniel?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thank you. Well, I mean, it's going poorly for Rodney, but for everybody else, it's going
well. All right.
Well.
Godhead.
What city, state is a Data member from?
Berlin.
Is it Berlin?
No, it's Ocala, Florida.
There you go. Ocala, Florida. Rodney's a ring a bell?
Sheena Easton.
All right. I don't think we're getting anywhere. Lisa, you have a drawing?
I do. All right, and our winner is Andrew.
Andrew. Congratulations, Andrew.
Oh, all right, Swing Out Sister.
He had the name of Bush's first album, and you are going to be seeing both days and backstage passes to the Epicenter 2010. Congratulations, and thanks for playing.
Wigwam Pam.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. That, of course, is Linkin Park and the Catalyst.
Woo!
And less than an hour from right now, Breakfast with Linkin Park.
Woo!
Guys are great. Secret location. Listeners get to ask questions. They're going to play some of their new stuff. So it should be good fun about less than an hour from right now. First, it's time to talk video games with our friend Adam Sessler, who we have on occasionally about from G4. He has X-Play as his TV show. Mm-hmm. Hi, Adam. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Adam.
Big day, Adam. Big day.
Yes, this is the beginning of the fall season, and it's, I would say it's really big. I wasn't at the midnight launches, but I know people at G4 that, you know, made the trek out there to just get the game 6 hours earlier than necessary.
Hey, Halo Reach is the game we're talking about, and Halo has to be one of the most successful game franchises probably in player history, right?
Yeah, I mean, maybe not like sheer number of sales, but if there's any one game that kind of took video games and brought them into the mainstream, it was Halo. There's no question about it.
That was the case then. Is it are they keeping up now? Are they still on the cutting edge of the video games, or is it just the, you know?
Well, I mean, Call of Duty sort of has more of the mind share, I think, especially kind of in that harder core market.
Right.
But most people, if they have a video game console or they have a 360 console, they might have a copy of Madden, and they always get a copy of Halo. It's
right.
Just kind of, you know, everybody has to play that game.
Now, the people that go at midnight and get it, they're the people who then, they don't go home and just set it aside and get to bed and come up and come to work. They play all night and call in sick, right?
Yes, I'm very curious to see who's making it into the office today.
And the Halo mythology has kind of become like a Star Trek or Star Wars universe where these people are really passionate about it.
Oh, yeah, except the only thing is, I don't really understand it. I understand some of it. Like, Halo 1 made sense. Aliens trying to kill everything, okay, there's some zombie guys. And then Halo 2 came, and I'm like, okay, there's a talking plant underwater. I am confused. Now, to be fair, this game, Halo Reach, actually is a prequel to Halo 1. It takes place about 2 months earlier, and you don't play as the character Master Chief. You play as, it's called the Spartan, which Master Chief is, and you're on a planet that you know, if you play the other three games, is going to be completely destroyed.
Oh,
and
I see.
There's, it's a very dark and moody story, because you're trying to save the world, but you kind of know, like, probably ain't going to work out well for anyone.
That's kind of depressing.
I played the other two games. It's not going to go well for me.
Yeah, it's neat. It plays much better, though. Actually, the weapons feel better. Like, the maps that you play on really have a lot more sort of range of things that you can do on them. And in some levels, you actually have jetpacks, games need more jetpacks.
Yes.
End of story.
If there's any place to have jetpacks, they can't do it in real life for more than 30 seconds. You might as well put it in a video game.
Exactly.
Wow. All right, so that one comes out, Halo Reach. It's today. It's only Xbox 360, right?
Yes, only Xbox 360.
All right, what's the other one you want to talk about? Is it Spider-Man?
Yeah, Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions. I want to point this one out because usually if there's a superhero game, I would be like, get as far away from that as possible. It's toxic. But last year, we had a game called Batman Arkham Asylum, which everyone realized was actually really, really good.
And that was like, wasn't that just like a download?
No. It was a full game.
Oh, it was? Yeah. Okay. All right.
And then Spider-Man comes out this year. It's not as good as Batman, but it once again is a good superhero game. And I think the trick is you don't sort of just play Spider-Man in the middle of New York, like, saving people from thugs. Like, it's got four different stories. It's hard to understand completely, but Spider-Man goes into all the different iterations of Spider-Man. The Amazing Spider-Man, Ultimate Spider-Man, the Noir Spider-Man, and Spider-Man 2099. I just learned that Spider-Man is also in the future.
Who knew?
Oh, yeah. Now, this is based on the different comic book titles that have featured the character in all his different costumes and that kind of stuff across the years.
Yeah, it really works because it breaks up the action. A lot of these superhero games, they have kind of one kind of game mechanic, like I'm swinging on a web,
right.
And that gets tiring after about 10 minutes.
Right.
Because of all the four different areas, it stays fresh and it keeps you going actually until the end.
It sounds like it's too confusing for a guy like me to play.
Yes, it is.
Is this in all platforms, Adam?
Yes, that's on everything.
That's great.
All right, what do we have to look forward to that's coming out in the next couple of weeks? Because you say this is the season, huh?
Yeah, I think one of the next big ones that we can look forward to is Fallout New Vegas. Fallout 3 was a huge hit that came out a couple of years ago, and this is kind of the follow-up. That game took place in a post-apocalyptic Washington, D.C., and this is in a post-apocalyptic, Las Vegas. And it's probably about 100 hours worth of game that you can get into it. And I know there's a lot of people very excited about that one.
Now, do you get all the way through these games when you play them and before you review them? Like, Halo Reach, have you Have you played the whole thing? You got all the way through it?
I played all of the single player. I have not gotten a chance to jump online and play multiplayer. But when we have a reviewer, like whoever is actually writing that review, mm-hmm. they have an opportunity to play all aspects of the game before they actually write the review.
Is so, there any time when you have to go, hey, dude, we need a review and you can't make it, so we're bringing in the big guns. We're bringing in someone else to actually finish.
Someone with bigger thumbs.
Yeah. Yes. I don't know. I mean, is it possible that you run into games that they can't finish?
Ever so often we've gotten kind of notification that, hey, there's something wrong. I can't seem to get through this game. We try to call the company saying, hey, what's up?
Yeah, it's
up?
The company.
And then, you know, there are certain games, say like that Fallout game, where you can play it without doing every single thing in the game and get a pretty good sense of its quality.
All right. So, Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions is out now on Wii, Xbox 360, Nintendo DS, PlayStation 3, and Halo Reach is available today, and it's on Xbox 360.
Yes.
Adam, you're the best.
Thanks so much.
X-Play airs weeknights at 6:30 Eastern and Pacific on G4, and we will talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon.
This is the Kevin Abid Show. Ralph is here with a look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, my plan to impede the Beeb is not going as planned. I don't seem to be able to impede him very well.
Well, he was all over the MTV Awards. If that's
yes,
yeah.
There's that. Uh-huh. By the way, see where Chelsea Handler's taking credit for the ratings for the MTV?
No.
Awards? Oh, yeah. She's very proud of herself.
The ratings were good, first
of all? The ratings were good. They were like the highest in the past 4 years, something. I don't know, 11.4 million people or something like that. Good job, me. Good job. Good job.
Did she say that?
Do you really think it may have anything to do with the Justin Bieber mania that's sweeping the nation, or perhaps that Lady Gaga was nominated for 13 awards?
Eminem performance?
Eminem was performing.
Wow.
People curious to see what Kanye West and Taylor Swift might do. Do you think any of that may factor into the viewership? Or do you think people are really tuning in to see you?
More importantly, what does MTV think? Because if they think it's her, she's back next year.
We're all screwed.
Oh, somebody else is going to have to bring in clips next year if that's the case. I can't do
it. No, it's you.
I can't
no,
do it.
No, it's on you.
I can't
it
do
it. It is you.
I can't do it. I'm out.
Bieber is everywhere, including CSI, the original, in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah, you told us he was cast in that.
He has been cast in that, and we've just seen a sneak peek of his performance in CSI. PrezHilton.com, amongst other sites, are carrying it now. So I pulled a little piece of Justin Bieber, the actor. Here he is being interrogated by George Eads from CSI, talking about a toy plane apparently had some explosives put in it, and they were attacking the police department, and so they capture Bieber, and they're grilling him about his involvement in the situation.
I didn't have anything to do with the bombs, I swear. I just bought the airplane.
I believe you. But what's the deal with your brother?
When the cops arrested Ralph, Alex snapped. Ralph was like a father to us. He was a decent man. And the cops treated him like a lowlife.
So your brother's waging war against the entire Las Vegas police force because of the way that Ralph was treated?
He told me he was just going to throw a scare in the cops, not blow them up.
Hey, don't involve me in your little world, Bieber. Don't drag me into it.
Best case scenario, Bieber talking about you.
Can we get him a lozenge, too, by the way?
I know.
He's
what's
16.
That?
What are you smoking, a pack a day? What do you got going on there?
And then they said it was Ralph, and I didn't buy, I just bought the airplane.
Get him a cup of lemonade or something. He's parched. Here's the final end of the scene. I just thought I had to bring this little taste in because he's spectacularly bad as he's calling off to George Eads as he leaves the scene.
You better hurry. That show at the funeral was just fireworks compared to what's coming.
Yeah.
Compared to what is coming.
You better hurry.
It was just fireworks. It will be even worse for everyone.
If you, Bieber. Seriously. Oh, I couldn't be more excited. Kevin, I've booked our tickets, and I hope you will accept this Christmas present in the spirit in which it was intended.
It sounds like I'm not going to.
You and me.
Going to.
I booked us on the 7-day cruise.
Nope.
That is the Star Trek cruise.
Nope.
Yes.
Nope.
Yep.
Nope.
Uh-huh.
Nope.
Wow, trapped for 7 days.
The Star Trek cruise.
Oh, man.
What a nightmare that is
going to
be.
Marina Sirtis, John DeLancey, Robert Picardo.
Anyone
Gene Roddenberry's
famous?
Son, Rod.
Yes.
Everyone from the Star Trek universe will be sailing with us, Kevin, as we spend 7 days on board with the Star Trek celebrities. And we'll get to ask them questions and get photo opportunities.
So William Shatner?
Well, no, but Marina Sirtis and John DeLancey and Robert Picardo.
That's the whole list?
Yes. That's all you need.
So none of the main characters.
We take off out of Fort Lauderdale, I believe. And then
not
we'll
even Uhura?
Ports of call include San Juan, Puerto Rico, St. Thomas. Oh, we're going to have a blast, Kevin. StarTrekCruise.com. You can look for more information. You want to see all the information for where we're going to go.
What a nightmare that would be.
Oh, it's going to be so good. Oh. Set phasers for fun, buddy, because you and me, we're going to go off.
Nope.
Off.
Nope.
Scott Weiland is penning a autobiography.
Oh, well,
that would be fascinating.
He certainly has lived a life.
Got to be a book, right?
Yeah.
The memoir will be released in March of 2011. Apparently the deal is with Simon & Schuster for the book, which is pretty much about his rise to fame and how his life has changed now that he's sober. The book is entitled Not Dead and Not for Sale.
Okay.
I don't know whether they'll be talking about the Velvet Revolver debacle in 2008, but it should be plenty of interesting stories. This guy has lived a life.
Yeah. He has. He's lived about three lives.
And speaking of things that are written, a note written by John Lennon is up for auction. It was a handwritten message to a technician at New York's record plant studio. Apparently, John borrowed a guitar string from him and then returned it with a note that reads, "For Carl, who strung me along."
See?
Get it?
See what he did?
Thanks, John Lennon. The auction is estimating that the note will sell for over $150,000.
Are you kidding me?
Because of this interesting fact. The note was written on December 8th, 1990 at the studio. He left the studio that night, and when he got home, he was murdered in front of his apartment building.
Wow.
So it is the last thing John Lennon has ever written.
That guy. What do you need him for?
Come on, Kevin. Even you can appreciate the historical significance of that.
I'm not a collector, so I don't get that in general. But $150,000.
Pretty strong.
For a thank you note.
Oh, it's pretty strong.
Wow. I'd rather go on the Star Trek cruise.
I want you to start writing me notes, Kevin, every day. Because I'm sure one of these days you are going to get in your car and just swallow your tongue or something.
Of course, that's
going
to happen.
And then I will have the last thing you've ever written, and I'm going to put that up for auction.
What do you think that'll bring?
Oh, a buck and a half. Maybe. Maybe a bag of trail mix. Maybe I can get like a barter, make like a trade with it or something. It is Tuesday. It means new DVDs and CDs are in stores today. A little album called 1,000 Suns by a little band called Linkin Park.
We're starting our breakfast with them in about a half hour.
Comes out today. Also, Hurley, the deluxe version by Weezer is available today. Flamingo, the deluxe version by Brandon Flowers also. The Drums by The Drums, featuring the hit single The Drums, is available today. Band of Joy by Robert Plant, legendary Zeppelin frontman, and the solo CD Barking by Underworld is available, and False Priest by Of Montreal. You can check that out as well. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Amy Winehouse is 27 years old today. 27
She's
years old.
She's a good-looking 27.
She's got her whole life ahead of her, which is about 5 weeks, I'm guessing. Bassist Craig Montoya of Everclear is 40 years old today. Actor Dan Cortez, or Cortezzi, depending on how you pronounce it.
I've heard Cortez. I haven't heard Cortezzi.
You haven't? He is, of course, of MTV fame, an actor as well. He is 42 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We played you a song a couple days ago from Yoko Ono.
And by song,
I mean screaming.
Quotes.
Yeah. She was at the Museum of Modern Art, and she stepped up to the microphone, and she made this noise. And I'm not sure what this noise is exactly, but she was presenting it as if it were a song. Now, I know that sounds like that's made up and it can't be possibly real.
It is made up and it can't be possibly real.
This is Yoko Ono, and she is performing this. Maybe John Lennon paid that dude to shoot him, you know, just to get away from. All right, that's all I can take. But it goes on.
Could she do this twice? I mean, could you do the same thing? Is it actually
something she wrote? No, I think she's just yelling.
Oh, my God. It's so horrible.
Because she used to be married to John Lennon.
People give her
Yeah. Oh, that's art.
That's art. Don't you know that's art?
So we had our producer, Alex, get her on the phone so that we would be able to talk to her about this new single, I guess it is.
Okay.
And we have Yoko on the phone. Hi, Yoko. Oh, there we go. Wait. Yoko? Right? Yoko, we heard the song.
I hope you liked my song.
That's not a song.
It is a song.
It's a lot of yelling.
No, John always told me I was very talented.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to be here at my record release party. I hope everyone likes my new single.
You're having a record release party?
Yes, for my new single.
And what's the name of that atrocity?
Peace for Soprano in the Wind of Trees.
What's the real name?
In B.
What? What kind of record release party are you having there?
Well, I'm celebrating the release of the record,
right. And
everyone is coming to enjoy it.
And by enjoy, you mean?
Well, Manny Ramirez is here.
What?
Legendary baseball player Manny Ramirez.
Party?
How do you know him?
I'm a huge baseball fan. I'm Japanese.
Okay.
We love baseball.
Would you mind putting him on the phone?
Hey, here he is now.
All right.
All right.
Hey, Manny.
Manny Ramirez, Colombico. Hello, Yoko Ono. Hooray.
Did you hear what she was just doing? Did you hear that noise?
Yeah, I hear it. I love it. I want to sing it myself. I have a horn.
Well, I guess that's the good news is anyone can sing it.
Hey.
Yes.
Hey, Manny Ramirez loves the movies. His favorite actor, Al Pacino, here.
Al Pacino?
Movies?
You want to talk to Al Pacino?
Yes, please.
Wow.
Al.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, it's going well. I can't imagine you...
Yeah.
...like this music.
I'm a big fan of Yoko.
You're not.
And...
No one is. She broke up the Beatles.
I just wanted to show my support.
Right.
Come on now.
Wow. Now, are they asking all of the guests to sing the song? Or? That's pretty good.
Thanks so much.
How did you learn it? Must have taken you a long time.
Well, my makeup guys are real good. Yeah. Come on now.
All right. Is anyone else there, Al?
Yeah, Spencer Pratt.
What?
Yeah. Come on now, Spencer.
Why would he be there?
Spencer?
What's up, kid? Sickness.
What are you,
artwork.
What? What are you doing?
Rhinestones on my chest, recognize.
What are you doing at the record release party?
Oh,
Yoko,
you know, a little peaceful soprano in A.
And you're singing? It sounds more like you're throwing up, if you don't mind my saying so.
Sick.
Yeah. Spencer, is anyone else there? Not that you're not singing well.
Well,
but...
you know, there's other smaller stars than me, like, hey, Nicholson, Jack.
Jack Nicholson.
Jack, come here.
No way.
Hello.
Jack?
Yeah.
You're not there on purpose.
I have no goddamn idea what I'm doing here.
Do you know Yoko
Ono? I just heard there was sushi involved. And I love me a good piece of ahi.
Yes.
Little seaweed, little rice.
Right.
Next thing you know, you got a party.
Yeah. But then you add this. And then what do you have?
Then you have a headache.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Who else is there, Jack?
Are you familiar with Rihanna?
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, she's here.
I love Rihanna.
Rihanna, talk to the boy.
Now, Rihanna, you know music. And this can't be music. I mean, I don't know what you're saying. That's music.
Ella.
Rihanna, is anyone else there? It's a strange party. Is there anybody?
Hey, now come see the recognize me friend Bjork here.
Bjork?
Bjork is there.
Hi, so can do the Bjork.
Hello?
Bjork, hi.
Hello, this is Bjork.
Yeah, how are you? We just talked to you last week at your record release party.
Yes, I make 1,000 holes with my fingers.
Right.
And we fall into potholes.
Right, that song was super crappy.
Yes.
Right.
Yoko is worse than I am.
I think that's true.
Yes. The only singer who I am better than. I love coming to her parties.
Well, congratulations.
Because everyone stops saying that I suck. They're yeah. too busy saying she sucks.
Yeah, yes. I can see it. You should make better music.
I should also have the magical winds of cloud come down to the system that runs through the Everglades.
Right. You should do that. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and when we speak to you next, we will be at a secret location with Linkin Park, and we will be doing breakfast with Linkin Park.
Yeah.
Very excited about that. First, though, we'll give we have a little bit of time for the Internet Roundup.
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Go to kevinandbean.com. A lot of these are really hard to describe, and you have to see them for yourself. The first one is a Patron challenge. Now, if you know anything about Patron, you do not chug.
Oh, God, no.
Because things go poorly.
Kids, do not try this at home. Seriously, do not try this at home.
It literally throws up for like a half hour.
It will bounce right back up.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will. The new season of Amazing Race is just about to start, and there is a video up of Girl versus the Watermelon. Now, I don't know what kind of challenge this is, but it involves a giant slingshot. And you're supposed to pull the watermelon back in the giant slingshot and then let it go and hit a target, like 100 feet away.
Okay.
So this girl tries it. She pulls it all the way back, and sometimes, I don't know if you've ever had a slingshot, it doesn't fly away. It stays in the slingshot and then backfires on you. And she gets smashed in the head with a watermelon.
Oh, my God.
I mean, the watermelon disintegrates on her head. It's one of the funniest things you've ever seen.
Are you okay?
I can't feel my face.
I have the worst headache ever.
I don't doubt it.
Okay, so what do we do now?
You have to finish.
What?
You have to finish. I can't feel my face.
Maybe we'll rush you to the hospital after.
You have to finish. This is a challenge and you have to do it. You know how in certain rides that scare you, if you have a scare of heights or whatever, there's a boyfriend that's going on with his girlfriend. His girlfriend clearly is the only one that wants to go on the slingshot ride. The boyfriend does not want to go, but he's there because he's, you know, wants to support her or whatever. But he turns into a whimpering, crying girl. And she's having the time of her life. She's putting her hands up. Woo, this is so fun. And listen to him.
Ready? You can go sit down, okay?
I'm sorry, and it's fine.
It's fun. Don't worry, it's fun.
I would have to leave him.
He
I could not stay with that man.
Was screaming like that the whole time, and then he was whimpering.
Oh, my God.
So awesome. This guy, I want to vote for any office he's running for. His name is Phil Davison, and he apparently is running for Stark County Treasurer. He wants to be a treasurer. Now, you're not going to think that that's the case when you hear his speech.
I have been a Republican in times good, and I have been a Republican in times bad. Albert Einstein issued one of my most favorite quotes in the history of the spoken word, and it is as follows.
All right, so he's yelling like that,
like
he's Martin Luther King Jr.
Yeah, he's a preacher.
And there are 20 people, like at an old folks' home or something like that. Now he's about to quote his favorite quote ever by Albert Einstein.
In the middle of opportunity, in the middle of difficulty lies opportunity. I'm going to repeat that so I have clarity tonight. In the middle of difficulty lies opportunity. This is the opportunity we've been waiting for.
Take it easy.
If nominated tonight, I promise each and every person in this room, I will hit the ground running, come out swinging, and end up winning.
Are you kidding? That guy's running for treasurer.
Yes.
Wow.
I want him to win.
Their money situation must be bad.
That's so great. We did the story a couple of days ago about this crazy lady that was describing a robbery. And it's so funny now with Antoine Dodson when the news channel went out and they interviewed him. There's a rapist in Lincoln Park, all that. That guy became a sensation and all the different remixes and everything happened. Well, now this crazy lady describing the robbery is the latest. And here is the audio of her talking to the news camera and describing what happened when she was in a store that was held up.
I was putting one more tap of coffee in my coffee cup, and out of the corner of my eyes, I saw two guys come in, one with a black hoodie and one with a white hoodie. And the guy with the black hoodie said, "We want your money, everybody up front and down." And I'm like, "Oh, why did I need coffee now?" And then when I'm on my knees, I'm backing up, because my daddy taught me good, and I'm backing the hell out of there.
Yeah. Her daddy, would you like to hear that conversation?
I would. Hey,
if you're in a store and it's being robbed, just back it up. Who says that? So Mike Realm, who is a fantastic remixer, he remixes the video.
Oh.
So there's actual video fits with the audio, cool. Which seems impossible to me. He did a remake of the crazy lady describing the robbery.
My daddy taught me They were laughing. They shot the rubber.
They shot the rubber, meaning the police shot the rubber bullets, I think.
Oh, okay.
But, and then the Gregory brothers.
Yes.
With the auto-tune.
I'm backing up. Cause my daddy taught me good. I'm backing a lot of there. And I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. My God.
Here's what they're good at, though. They take this and they put a melody to it.
It's great.
They don't just auto-tune the voice. They make a song, background singers.
Yeah.
It has
really
a theme.
Catchy. I want this song.
It's going to be my new ringtone.
I was putting one more tap of coffee in my coffee cup. And in the corner of my eyes, I saw two guys come in. One with a black hoodie, one with a white hoodie. They said, "We want your money, everybody down." And I'm like, so the guy in black shirts coming down. And I'm backing up. Cause my daddy taught me good. I'm backing in a lot of there. And I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, my God.
Come on.
That's awesome.
So good. Go to KevinandBean.com for the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
What's up? This is Rob.
This is Brad.
And Joe.
From Lincoln Park.
What up? This is Mike Shinoda.
This is Chester from Lincoln Park.
It's Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with Lincoln Park.
It's Kevin and Bean's show on the world famous K-Rock. How about a little breakfast? How about a little breakfast with Lincoln Park?
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Linkin Park performing live for you here at Breakfast Linkin Park, Kevin and Bean Show. That's sweet. That just happened. We'll be back with more Our Questions and Yours right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Kevin Bean, Linkin Park.
You'd be like a big breakfast machine.
Breakfast. Breakfast with Linkin Park. KROQ.
All right, we're back.
1, 2, 3, check.
All right, we're back. It's Breakfast with Linkin Park, people. Come on now.
How about something new?
Like a riot rocking every revision. But you listen to the tone and the violent rhythm. And though the words sound steady, something empties within them. You say, yeah, fists flying up in the air. Like we're holding on to something that's invisible there. Cause we're living at the mercy of the pain and the fear. Until we get it, forget it, let it all disappear. Yeah.
Waiting for the end to come. Wishing I had strength to stand. This is not what I had planned. It's out of my control. Flying at the speed of light, thoughts were spinning in my head. So many things were left unsaid. It's hard to let.
It is Breakfast with Linkin Park. Chester, Mike, all the guys are here.
You guys want to sit? You want to sit?
Today's a big day, a day a lot of us have been waiting for a long time. 1,000 Sons, available for download and in stores everywhere in America today. You played what is the new single.
I guess so.
Yes.
What's it like getting a chance after working on it for so long, for so hard, to finally get a chance to play some of these new songs live in front of folks?
nerve-wracking.
It's sort of scary, or?
Well, it's weird because the way we write, I mean, it's really, we're just, you know, it's kind of like anything goes in the studio, and we're not the kind of band that sits around and jams together. You know, we don't play six guys in a room and make a song that way. I mean, we've only done that, you know, probably less than five times ever on records, you know. One of them was actually a song on this record, but now at this point, I think that we feel like when we're in the studio, we can really creatively, you know, push ourselves to do something really unique. And sometimes that means, you know, playing some stuff that will be difficult to make it translate on stage. But I mean, so far we've had a pretty good time, like, you know, translate.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of that, we've talked to hundreds of bands, and bands will come in and they'll say, "We've radically changed everything." And then we'll listen
we
to it.
We said that last album.
Yeah. And then we'll listen to it, and I'll look at him and I'll go, "Sounds the same to me." This one is different. It's a new direction. Tell us about A Thousand Suns, and did you stay away from things that would have fit before?
You know, I think that when we, you know, when we began working with Rick Rubin, his whole thing was like, if you guys want to do the same thing, then it's not going to work for me. You know, and we were like, great, because if you wanted us to do that thing that we were known for doing, then we probably wouldn't want to work with you either. So this is going to be great. And on this record, you know, we really, really wanted to allow ourselves to be free and allow ourselves to really, you know, not be focused on the radio.
You're saying screw the radio.
What are easy ways of getting out of your comfort zone? You know, not doing verse chorus bridge double chorus out is a pretty good standard song structure, right? Well, let's just get away from that and let's let the music do what it wants to do. And if, you know, some songs on the record don't have choruses, some songs have are in movements, and that's kind of how we went with
that's
it.
A good point. Chester made that point. I didn't
you
really
want to kiss
ever,
him.
I didn't really put that together in a way like once we finished the record. I gotta take these out.
That
I
is
can't
a horrible.
Everyone's yelling for you two to
you
kiss.
Just
I'm just
put
telling
the
you
visual
that
of that in my mind.
Yeah, I have.
Fine, things are really different for this band. Let's see some man on man,
so I can actually hear all the heckling. At some point after we finished this record and we're listening to it back, it was almost like, you know, just that feeling of when we were listening to the demos and we knew they were different and we knew that it was going to be a little bit of a challenge, number one, to make the song work, and number two, to get behind it and stand out there with all, you know, you guys sitting out in front of us and saying, like, this is our new music. Yeah. Like, I hope you don't hate it, but
I totally
love it.
Respect where you guys are coming from, and I know that the art is what's driving you. I get that. But there has to be, even if it's not spoken, there has to be something in the back of your mind that goes, we've sold 50 million albums the way we've been going.
Yeah.
Are we setting ourselves up for, hey, you guys suck, which is what inevitably people will say.
You know, I think that...
all right, some people. Take it easy.
That's fair. I mean, even if you make... The point is totally true. Like, we could make the most radically different record and there would be people that say it sucks, and there would be... We can make Hybrid Theory again and people would say it sucks because they'd be like, oh, I already have Hybrid Theory. I don't want that. You know, there's always a reason to say it sucks. So that's why we can't pay too much attention to that. I mean, we have to go with what feels good to us.
Well, they're missing out if they don't get behind this record. It's my favorite Linkin Park album so
far.
Thank you. I love it. And let me ask you this question. Is it meant to be listened from beginning to end in one piece? Because I'm not that type of person. I find a song.
Yeah.
And I listen to a song
right.
1,000 times, and then I never listen to it again.
Well, let me ask a question. Do you, when you go to the movie, do you show up in the middle of the movie and watch 5 minutes and then walk out?
Sometimes.
Okay. Yeah.
No. Usually, what I was saying was this one, I felt like, well, there's no breaks between a lot of the tracks, and I just felt like I needed to
keep... But you have the patience to do that, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
So that's, with this
see,
one.
Here's the
that's
thing.
That's why, what we're hoping for, it's like, we know it's a little bit of a favor to ask of a lot of people. Like, we're asking a lot to say, you know, this is intended to be listened to beginning to end. It's 48 minutes long. It's not, you know, I mean, it's going to take a little time. If you give it the time, you'll get something extra out of it, you know, as opposed to just you can listen to the songs one by one and they're, you know, you can enjoy them that way. That's fine.
But we are just near the beginning of our Breakfast with Linkin Park here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The guys are graciously giving us some of their time on what is a very, very busy day for them, because A Thousand Suns is available in stores and for download today. We'll take a quick break, come back with your questions, and the band's going to play more live for us right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Let's get ready for breakfast.
It's Breakfast with Linkin Park.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. A very special day. It's a Thousand Suns Day. New Linkin Park music available for sale. We're doing Breakfast with Linkin Park right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We are here with the guys. The album comes out today. How long have you been working on it? All 4 years? 3 years?
Years.
A thousand years?
About 2 years. We started, it's weird because we don't actually, you don't know when it actually starts. It's just like we're doing some demos on the road and things like that. And then I think that was about 2 years.
You have to put a deadline on yourself to have.
Yes.
You do?
Yeah, our band.
Otherwise, you'd tinker forever, right?
We would.
Be in the studio making song after song till the end of time.
And yeah, but you've learned your lesson about putting a date on it. that's happened in the past where you thought a record was coming out at some point, and then it just, there's no way, right?
Yeah, that was called this
it's
one.
Like we started off with, Hybrid Theory, and here we worked our butts off to get signed, and then you get a deal, and it's like, okay, in 6 months we need an album, So that was like what we were thrown into. So we thought that was the process that needed to be followed. So
not for very long.
We did that
you
with Meteora, and then we were like, wait a second, we don't need to really do that. That's kind of, we write the music, and then in the last month of the studio, Mike and I are in there like,
freaking out. Like, we don't know what we're going to sing. We have no words. We don't know what the hell's going on. This is not, this doesn't feel that great. Let's take our time and just write. And then we made Minutes to Midnight, which took like forever. And we wrote like a million tracks.
Album title equals what? A Thousand Suns.
That was actually a lyric in The Catalyst before it was an album title, and we always just really liked the words. The funny thing is about this record, it was kind of like with a lot of the lyrics, we went about the lyric creation process in a little bit of a different way. It was really like intuitive, and we did something that was new for us called automatic writing. We were having trouble with writing one of the songs, and we asked Rick what he thought we should do, and he asked us if we'd ever heard of that technique. He said that he had tried it with he had done it with Neil Young and Johnny Cash and Tom Petty, and we were like,
"All right, take it easy, Rick."
Sold.
What is it?
And basically, I mean, to make a long story short, it's like asking you to go up on the microphone and sing a song you've never heard before that you haven't written yet, and just to sing new melody and new words right now. You know,
just ad lib it. Just
ad lib it.
It's kind of like a hip hop version. It's like a rock version of.
Freestyle,
but with melody and changes and all this kind of stuff.
Actually, and it doesn't even have to be a rock verse, because I did that with some of the rap verses on this album too. Once I was really thinking about it, and when Chester said we were talking about like the rap thing, like this is the way I know that, like, I think Jay-Z kind of writes this way, and Lupe Fiasco kind of writes this way, and then putting that all together, it's kind of for us it was a more like almost like it was kind of trippy. Like, you go in and you don't have anything, and then you walk out a couple hours later.
I saw some video
song.
On LPTV of Chester doing that with one of the songs, and I thought, how trusting must you be of your bandmates to not judge when you go in there and just let yourself open up like that?
You know, I think that we're really lucky in the fact that we understand the process, and we all know, what you say immediately off the top of your head isn't like I'm presenting that as like, I said, rocket ship hamburger flavor of the week,
that
that's
was a
not
lyric.
Gonna make
that was what first
those lyrics
out.
Aren't gonna make the record,
Who has the out cues? Somebody has all the outtakes.
It's ridiculous, and the way we used to do things was we would scat. So we would basically, Mike and I would come in and there'd be a la 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 la, or we'd kind of skippity skip skip.
Is anybody here in LP Underground?
It wouldn't even be a word.
LPU. So you guys on the last LPU CD, we with our LPU fan club, we basically we give away a CD with the membership every year, and this last one had some of those on it. You could hear like us going, dun 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 dun, instead of like leave out all the rest. And it's like that's where we start from, and then we just basically start throwing horrible words in, and then we throw better words in.
Rick was like, I'd rather hear dumb words that make no sense than da na 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 one more time.
Let's get a couple of questions in from the audience here before we take a break and come back. More live music on the way from Linkin Park 2. Dave, the King of Mexico, who's up first?
Hi, my name is Jose. My question is, who was your favorite band to tour with?
To tour with?
Ooh.
Wow, that's a tough one. I personally, what's strange is that when I was in junior high, I listened to like strictly hip hop. That was it. And anybody who I was also in like art classes and stuff like that. I loved to draw, and there were it was like me and three other guys had like a rivalry with there's another group of like three guys, and we all listen to hip hop and they listen to Metallica. And it was this thing like, obviously we hate Metallica because of them, right? And when we finally went out on the road with Metallica, that was just incredible. I mean, like, since that time, I've really grown to love their music. I think it's great, and the guys themselves are pretty awesome. It was one thing that made it extra amazing is that we are actually, I think, we're still the only band that has ever pulled a prank on them. We got their security. We kind of made buddies with their security, and they let us up on stage. And during like Master of Puppets, when they're all
like
so serious,
my skateboard,
they're like yeah, they're all like serious and shredding, and we come out with like a picnic blanket and like sit down and have eat sandwiches and skateboard across their stage.
That's fantastic. One more, Dave. Who's next?
Hello, boys. My name is Lorraine. What CD do you guys currently have in your CD player?
What's a CD?
Absolution by Muse is in my car. And I think also the
motion picture soundtrack for Inglourious Basterds.
All right, should we take another question from the audience?
Yes, one more, then we got to take a break.
What's up, guys? My name is Tony, and my question is, where's the most random place you have found inspiration from?
The most random place found inspiration from? You know, I would probably say, like, watching, like, my son play, like, Pop Warner football. You know, watching those kids go out there, and, like, they're busting their butts every day, and, like, you know, they don't complain. He goes to school, goes to do this thing, and then takes a hit and gets up, and he wants to cry, but he sucks it out. It's like, that's pretty inspirational, you know? You don't...
You're talking about the Expendables now, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's pretty cool to see that kind of stuff happen. There's little things in life that are the most inspirational, the things that kind of catch you off guard, you know, like how pretty your grass looks or something that day, or, you know, the way the clouds are dispersed in the sky. You know, in Arizona, I live in Arizona, the land of the best, you know, sunsets in the world. So it's those little kind of things that get me.
He's very emotional right now.
Yeah. I'm tearing up. I'm crying.
This is Breakfast with Linkin Park at the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll be right back with more after this.
Bring me my breakfast.
This is Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with Linkin Park. KRQ.
We are back. It's Breakfast with Linkin Park, people. Come on now.
Devastation when you
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Very special day. It's our second ever Breakfast with Linkin Park, and we're having a great time with a couple of hundred hardcore Linkin Park fans. Super secret location, which I can now reveal, is a 7-Eleven parking lot in Ames, Iowa. That's where we are right now doing Breakfast with Linkin Park.
Ames!
But only for a couple of more minutes. Let's go back out to the crowd and get a few of your questions. Where you're from and what your question is, please.
Hey, my name is Seamus. I'm from Orange. And which album of you guys do you consider to be the most meaningful or most important to you?
Could it be the one that comes out
today? A Thousand Suns.
You know, that's always like a tricky one for us, because I think that with each record we're really, we're really trying to do something, you know, different, something challenging, something fun for us. Like, we're trying to make music that we want to listen to, you know, and hopefully make something that doesn't sound like other stuff, you know. So in the moment, you know, like right now, this is a time when we've worked on something really hard, and we worked on it for a long time, and we're excited to see, you know, what you guys think of it. We're excited to get it out there into the world.
How tough is it to license the voice of Dr. Martin Luther King? As I would imagine, there is some paperwork there.
Yeah, that was the hardest one by far.
I would imagine so, because they're pretty protective.
There are three like vocal clips on the record. The first one is J. Robert Oppenheimer, who was the father of the atomic bomb. The second one was Mario Savio, who was a free speech activist. And the third one was Martin Luther King.
And then he turns into a transformer.
Yeah,
to get that too.
Yeah. Right. Got to bring the robots
actually,
in.
And we actually had that talk in the studio. Like, okay, does it sound too much like a transformer? We don't want it to sound like a transformer.
It sounds like a transformer.
But the whole, I mean, that does speak to something that's a part of the record, like, There's something we wanted the album to have that uncomfortable like mashing of organic elements and really digital elements, and we did it in the vocals, we did it in the music, all over the place in the album, because it feels like the stuff that we're talking about kind of comes from that. Like, I know that we all I have like family members, and I know everybody here who has heard this before, of like somebody in their family who's like, these kids today, they don't have any social skills, they don't know how to talk to each other, they only talk by text messages and emails, they can't stand in a room and have fun anymore.
Your dad is here, is that an impression of him?
That's not my dad. My uncle, the funny thing is, my uncle does that, he says that speech like all the time, and I'm like thinking to him, like, you don't realize I am that guy. Like, I do talk to everybody by text messages and email all the time. That's the way I talk to more people than anywhere, any other way. And so that to me, that's just the way we communicate now. It's part of the way we do things. It doesn't mean it's any, I mean, I think we're getting smarter because of it. And that stuff has like informed us about our, you know, relationships, informs us about the world, and all that information over the course of 2 years, when you're writing a record, it just like sneaks its way into the sounds and the lyrics. And it made part of the record. I think
I heard that at one point, producer Rick Rubin told you to make every sound on the album interesting. And I listened with that quote in mind as I was listening to the record, and damn it if you didn't do it. I mean,
his word was,
by the way, it'll blow your mind.
Yeah, thanks. This is definitely a record that I feel like, you know, kind of going back to, you know, your question about Martin Luther King's statement and the other speeches, and also going back to what you had asked before, Seamus, about, you know, the important record that we've made. This album, more than any other album, I feel, you know, really speaks. It tells a very beautiful human story of conflict and oppression and hope. And, you know, there's this mixture of the inner conflict that you have as a human, then how it relates to the things that are going on in the world. And, you know, all of these things really unfold, you know, as you hear the album.
All right, let's go back out to the crowd for one more question before the next break. Breakfast with Linkin Park. Dave, the King of Mexico, has who?
Hi, my name is Brian from Orange, California.
And yes.
I noticed that the last album had a theme of forgiveness to it. Does that theme continue into A Thousand Suns?
There's some of that on this record, for sure. There's definitely moments on the record that, you know, talk about, you know, remembering that through life and its ups and downs, that the most important aspect of it is that you're loved. And people, there are people in your life that truly care about you regardless of what you do or you know, at the time, and that's the stuff that's important in life, and that's the stuff that makes you want to stand up against the things that keep you down, and that's what this record kind of has in it as well. You know, it's,
yeah, somebody asked us, or a few people have asked us, if it was a concept record.
We did,
yeah. And just to address that a little bit, earlier on, like halfway through the process, we kind of thought it was going that direction. And what we, you know, where I think the thing where we ended up at is that the term concept record just seems to have a lot of baggage. You know, I think of things that don't necessarily line up with A Thousand Suns, like good records, though. I mean, things like Tommy, rock operas and stuff like that you think of. This is more about various concepts, and they kind of float in and out of the album. You'll hear lyrics that are, you know, they show up in one song and then they go away and then they show up in a song later. You'll hear sound. They actually, the first song on the whole album, on the Requiem, is made up of sounds that you're about to hear. So the sound, all the sounds, almost all the sounds in that song are sounds from other songs.
Who sings that?
That's me. The girl voice is
me. You're
the
girl?
You want to know what's really funny?
Wait, check it out, check it out. Hold on, hold on.
Wait, you're the girl?
Hold on, I got you.
The first track is all sung by a girl.
You want to know something really funny? I did an interview with someone who listened to the record, and she had said, Chester, your voice sounds so different in this one part of the song. How did you make your voice sound so different? And I was like, because it's Mike. That's why it doesn't sound like me. It's Mike.
What's happening right now?
I'm just a little girl, dude. I'm just a little girl that loves Kevin and Bean, okay?
Well, I'm Chris Hansen. Thank you for coming. All right, Breakfast with Linkin Park is happening here on the Kevin and Bean Show. More questions, more live music right after this.
Are you ready for breakfast?
Be ready.
The Kevin and Bean Show. Breakfast with Linkin Park.
We are back. It is Breakfast with Linkin Park. You guys are here. Today's a big day, a day a lot of us have been waiting for a long time. 1,000 Suns available for download and in stores.
If you can buy it at Best Buy, you get one configuration. In fact, you get the winner, your guy from Germany who did the remix.
He's from Poland.
Poland, right.
He did the remix
in Kalish. You get that on the Best Buy version. Yeah, you get Blackbirds on the iTunes version, which has not been available for sale as a song, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You got a DVD making of. You just got a lot of great stuff that's available and some special stuff through your website.
Yeah,
that people
just
buy
to
too.
Speak on that real quickly, the... I personally love the documentary. The DVD is called Making
really complicated, Making of the Thousand Suns.
It's a crazy title.
Yeah, crazy. It's like 30 minutes, and it's just really. I mean, it's really. It was kind of like uncomfortable for us to see it as it was put together. You know, it's. I mean, it definitely paints like this really like tense negative picture that doesn't sum up the
Don't
whole.
Don't give it away. Don't give it away.
It is a great thing to watch. It definitely gives you a real insight into what the process was like at some time.
How can you have two Asian guys in the band, yet no one could take a photo in focus for the cover? What's up with that? How did that happen?
Well, you know, we're not models. And we basically have one pose. You know, I think this is my pose in every picture.
That's it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, this is radio, so everyone out there listening, watch.
But there's a big, it's a blob. It's a big blob.
I mean, it's like,
cover,
it's,
right?
Yeah, it's you know, and with this.
Do you want the real answer? Do you want?
I was curious where the photo came from.
I mean, to be honest, we have inside. We've been working on the art for the record for a long time with a great team of people, very talented people, and we have this huge catalog of great imagery. And when we saw that particular image, I think part of the reason we were drawn to it is because it is so minimalist and it's so stark. And we knew that if you got the CD and you saw that in the cover and you're set up for something really minimalist and small, whatever, and you open it up and you just get blasted by all this cool stuff. Like, I personally just love the feeling of that. Also, it's like kind of like an inkblot test. I mean, like everybody sees. I've literally heard people say it looks like a bird, it looks like a dog, it looks like my mother. I mean, you know,
who said it looks like their mother?
Joe.
Joe. All right. Oh. I saw the video for the Catalyst, which I believe you're going to do in a second. Yep. Chester, you're underwater. It seems like it would be easier to sing if you weren't underwater.
That was.
He's singing underwater.
You're not supposed to. You're not supposed to really try to open all of the holes in your face. In your head, you know, as you're performing a song, it's really not a natural thing. There was a couple times where, you know, I think the last take of the day, I was kind of like laying on my back and I'm floating there and I'm singing the song and I'm trying not to breathe so that I can stay afloat. And I'm like mouthing the words and I go, blah, blah, and this time I'm trying to say it because we're really trying to get the pronunciation of the words to look right. And I'm singing the song and I go,
God bless us, everybody. And I go, cut! That's it, you know, and everybody's freaking out and like... You know,
Mr. Hahn, where'd all that come from?
That's horrible.
So recognizable about Linkin Park is how different yet awesome all the videos are. Where'd you come up with this one? Just trying to kill Chester?
I was trying to parallel the emotional intensity of the music in a visually stunning way that would exemplify Chester's profile in a...
We're being punked right now, right?
In a very contrasting way that hasn't been seen before.
All right.
Well said.
Glad we asked that. If there's ever a video for Blackout, you will die during that.
You will die.
You will die trying to sing that for an entire 2 days making a video. Let's face it.
There are definitely moments on every record where at the end I go, why did I do that? You know?
Now I have to do it on stage every night.
Crawling was that one for me on Hybrid Theory.
One Step Closer had to hurt.
One Step Closer would hurt, but it was easier to sing. And on this one, Blackout was that song, and I just am sitting there going, I don't know what I'm going to do to get through this one track every single night. And now awesome. I'm going to have to do all three of those freaking songs in a set every single day.
Got time for one more question. Linkin Park's going to play live for us again here on the Kevin Amin Show. Who's up next?
Hi, guys. I'm Christina from Baldwin Park. I was just wondering if you guys wanted to see the tattoo that I promised these guys I'd get Kevin Amin back in 2007 when they brought me in for the Linkin Park.
Sure.
Oh, my God, that's right.
Tattoo? It's on the wrist?
It's on the wrist.
Oh, it's on the wrist, okay. You probably see a lot of Linkin Park tattoos, nice. I would imagine, right?
We do see some. You know, and I do think of those things when we're making, like, a record that obviously this record sounds a lot different from the other records, and I kind of wonder sometimes if those people who get the tattoos are going to be like, oh, these guys just screwed me.
Now I got to get lasered off.
Like, I really liked them back in the day, and now...
Hey, Kevin's still got his Culture Club tattoo. Sometimes you don't know.
There's a guy in Germany that I had the pleasure of meeting who... he has a picture of my face. It's, like, 8 inches tall, and it takes up the entire front of his calf, and it says Crawling underneath it, and it literally is done by one of the best portrait artists I've ever seen in my life. Yeah. It literally looks... just like the photo that they did it from. And I was like, when I met him, I was like, wow, that's a really, you know, that's a great tattoo. The technique is great, but you know that's my face.
That was troubling?
Like, you have my head on your leg for the rest of your life. Like, is that really what you wanted to do? You know, I mean, there's better looking things out there in the world than me, like, drooling on myself, you know, screaming during a live performance.
Does anyone in Linkin Park have a Linkin Park tattoo? Logo? Anything?
Unfortunately.
You do?
I made myself a promise. You know,
is it your face?
It's my face. It's awesome. It's a picture of Steve-O with my face tattooed on his knee. But you know, it's I promised myself when I was younger, and mind you, this is one of those goals that, like, you don't really have to live up to, but I did. I said, if I'm ever in a band that sells a million records, I'm going to get the name of the band tattooed on me. And, you know, like, that's kind of like one of those things, like, when I go to Jupiter, I'm going to go through the entire, you know, planet in my orb, and it's going to be awesome. You know, it's never going to happen. You know what I mean? So it happened, and I was like, oh, dude, it happened. I sold a million records. Linkin Park is awesome. And now I have Linkin Park across my back. And
a tramp
if
stamp.
Anybody doesn't, if anybody's
that's right.
wondering,
that's right.
you know,
right.
is that the guy from Linkin Park? And then I'm at the beach and I walk by, they go, yep, that's the guy from Linkin Park. Because it's written in giant letters across his back.
Awesome.
Yep, I am not the smartest person in the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's give it up for the great Linkin Park for being here for the breakfast. We got one more song. There's that tattoo right there. One more song to close it out if you haven't already done so. People here, people listening, go buy a Linkin Park album today. It's called 1,000 Suns. Give it up for the band. Linkin Park.
106.7. K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. All right. It's 8:55. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Just wrapping up the breakfast with Linkin Park.
They're tasty.
That went well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Guys are good guys. Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
Great list on the intranet today, I read. Top 10 hottest TV cheerleaders of all time.
Oh!
You know, much like the rest of America, I am obsessed with Hellcats.
Right.
TV smash hit Hellcats. Can't get enough Hellcats.
And it's a smash hit because, it is, has it been on yet?
Has I it think. Started?
You don't know.
Yes. You think?
Yes.
You just know the billboards.
One has been on. One episode has been on.
All right.
It's sweeping America by storm because the Hellcats are a-coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's got everyone thinking about cheerleaders. Especially hot cheerleaders.
All right.
Especially hot TV cheerleaders.
I'm down with that.
You know, one of my great regrets of high school was never having banged a cheerleader.
What?
Mike was a cheerleader in high school.
There you go. There were male cheerleaders.
Sure.
Yeah. More or less male, I suppose. Although our cheerleaders weren't particularly all that hot.
Doesn't matter. I mean,
I know, but I still would have liked to have that
experience.
Yes, it's a
little experience.
I want the little skirt. I want the little sweater with the letter on it. I want
the pom-poms. Right.
I want to yell in her megaphone. You know what I'm saying?
I'm afraid I do.
Anyway, here's the list of the what these people over at Bleacher Report believe are the top 10 hottest TV cheerleaders. And I think there will be some arguing.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because these pages usually create some argument.
Yeah.
Number 10, Ashley Tisdale. She is one of the Hellcats.
All right.
Go Hellcats!
That's the show that's sweeping the country?
Yes.
All right.
She, of course, formerly of High School Musical, too, and formerly of A Nose. Now, less of which she has. Journey Smollett. Are you familiar with Journey Smollett?
Oh, Journey Smollett does good work.
Journey Smollett sounds like a horrible cover band.
It really does.
She was a cheerleader on Friday Night Lights. Lovely, talented African-American actress you may remember from Friday Night Lights. Both of you.
I think I know who that is.
Diana Agron.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
She is on Glee, of course. She plays the pregnant cheerleader Quinn.
She's hot.
On very Glee. Hot.
She's very beautiful.
She's hot.
Girl.
No!
Stop hitting the no.
I go with her.
7, Kristen Crook from Smallville. She was a cheerleader in Smallville. Is Lana Lang.
Right.
Beautiful girl.
No!
7th, I'm sorry, 6th, Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Oh, there we go.
She was Buffy. She was a vampire. She was a vampire slayer or cheerleader. We forget.
That's true.
That she was a cheerleader on that show. Number 5, Sophia Bush was a cheerleader on One Tree Hill.
There it is.
There it is, Ralph.
4th is Mila Kunis, who was a cheerleader on That 70s Show.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good.
Winner.
Number 3, Ally McCulka from Hellcats. She's a Hellcat.
Wow.
Go Hellcats.
Is she the black one?
She's the blonde one.
No. Oh.
She's the one from Ally
and AJ.
AJ, yeah, right.
Do the producers of Hellcats make this list?
There's a tie at number 2.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Between Tiffany Amber Thiessen from Saved by the Bell, who was a cheerleader.
Yeah.
And someone hold Mike down. Hayden Panettiere from Heroes,
yeah,
of course.
Sure.
Right.
Who was
Save
the Cheerleader, Save the World.
Otter. Who what?
Who is an otter.
Stop it.
She's not an otter.
I
bet she can throw a pitch further than Kevin.
How dare you all.
And number 1, hottest TV cheerleader, if you believe this list, Minka Kelly from Friday Night.
I thought she might be at the top,
She's pretty amazing.
She was on Entourage, the season finale of Entourage this weekend, and she looked just diabolical.
Yeah,
she was stunning.
She's better than most.
Yeah. And Vinny Chase asked for a three-way with Minka Kelly and Sasha Grey, his porn star girlfriend.
Right.
No, it wasn't her. It was some other broad.
Random broad,
yeah, but still.
Did it work?
It's like, we all three should F. Minka Kelly's like, why don't you go F yourself?
That's not as fun.
Oh, boom! Put in his place.
Not as good.
He's out of control, that Vinny Chase.
Does he?
I don't know what's going to happen next season.
Is he having a rough time filling a movie?
Hope he cleans up. He's a cocaine addict now. He's got a cocaine habit.
What did you do?
Just sounded just like that. When he was on that show. Kim Kardashian has learned the tough way that Botox injections aren't always the way to go.
Uh-oh.
She seems young for that.
Well, she's been doing it for a while, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell she's got that smooth face. She used to be more attractive before she started these procedures.
Well, when it moved.
When her face moved?
Yeah, it was better.
I think it was better for everyone.
Yeah.
Apparently, she had a bad reaction to some injections.
In her face?
Oh, no.
In her face. and it ended up with two black eyes. And now she's filming the new season of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, and she's got the big raccoon eyes because she was having injections in her eyes.
And her eyes? Yeah, you mean like right around?
Underneath, yeah.
Wow.
To smooth out the wrinkles, and apparently they hit some blood vessels or something, and now she's all black-eyed. It's not even a pee.
Oh, put it in the file.
Oh, man.
Put it in the file with prejudice.
Why you gotta be prejudiced, man? Are you a bigot?
Just saying.
And this is a movie I'm looking forward to. This is something I can get behind.
All right.
New Martin Scorsese movie starring Robert De Niro as an Irish hitman.
Okay.
Frank the Irishman Sheeran was his name. De Niro will play Frank Sheeran. And the rest of the cast? Al Pacino and Joe Pesci.
What?
How about that for a Scorsese movie?
Wow.
That's a cast and a half.
Wow. Now, don't tell me summer 2012. Don't tell me that.
It does not say here when it's being released. Oh. They're just releasing the cast news, which I thought was good.
It is. That's a great cast.
Funny how, Henry? How am I funny?
Today's celebrity birthdays. Amy Winehouse celebrates her 27th birthday today. When you live like Amy Winehouse lives,
yes.
How do you celebrate a special occasion? What do? You hit the gong. The rest of us go out for a couple extra cocktails on our birthday, or we go out and we party a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe overdo it just a touch once a year.
Yeah.
What does Amy Winehouse do? Stay home and drink coffee? Stay sober for the day for something different, a little change of pace?
But that's not a celebration.
No, it's not. She's 27 years old today. Bassist Craig Montoya. My name is Craig Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
Nice.
Thank you. He's from Everclear. He's 40 years old today. And actor Dan Cortez celebrates his 42nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's time to talk about one of our favorite shows, A Thousand Ways to Die.
Oh, so
my God.
Good.
This is so good, and it's so bad at the same time. We have the executive producer, Tom Beers, on the show again. Hi, Tom.
Hey, how you going, guys?
We are doing well. A Thousand Ways to Die comes back tonight.
You're never going to top the exploding boobs, Tom.
You know, I tell you, are you glad? I'm so glad I didn't say 100 ways to die.
Yeah.
You know, because 1,000 ways, you know, I can just keep going with this for a long time.
This is what, the third season?
It's a third season, yeah.
How many ways to die have you covered so far?
You know, actually, think about it this way. I think about, there's about 8 deaths in a show,
mm-hmm.
and then you got times 13,
right.
So that's it's 80, 100, 200. You know, we're getting about 325 right now, so I got a few seasons to go.
So you got more seasons.
Yeah. And plenty of fodder. I mean, every time I turn around, there's a new story out there. I mean, I'm listening to the radio this morning, somebody's talking about the fact that some guy buys a box of cereal, it's been sitting there for a couple of years, whatever. He opens it up, pours it in a thing, he pours it in the milk, he takes the first bite, and there's a tampon in it.
What?
I swear to God, it was on the radio. It was this morning, it was in the news, right? And I'm thinking, you know, oh my God, could you imagine if you swallowed it and drank a big chunk of milk, and all of a sudden, your throat, and you're done.
Oh, that'd be great. That's not the way you want to go.
Death by tampon.
Tampon, you know? I mean, it happens every day. It's crazy.
Now, which one airs tonight? There was you had a guy who had do-it-yourself liposuction. Is he on tonight? Is that guy on tonight?
Seriously?
Yeah, that guy, you know, that's like, you know, it's like, oh, you got to be kidding me. I mean, he weighs like 350 pounds, and he's like, and he doesn't want to get on a treadmill or nothing. So
sure.
He's like, and he's kind of a handy guy. So he's like, he revs up his shop vac, puts a different cannula or like a hose on the end of it. He eats about 15 Valium and literally cuts himself, puts a cut, slice in his belly, and starts sucking the fat out. But what he doesn't realize is when he made that cut, he got into the muscle a little bit too deep, and he's also sucking out his intestine.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Sweet Jesus.
Yeah, and the woman, the doctor, she describes, recap for us that, how strong the vacs are that they actually use.
Well, yeah, they use it. It's like 3 pounds of pressure, and this guy's using 90. You know? So
yeah.
He sucks it. You know, and it's a great time. No, you know,
I can't take it.
No guts, no glory.
What about the dude in the Amazon that pees and the fish swims up?
Now,
his...
let me tell you something. That's a true story. I mean, and that's happened, man. And the fun part about this one is, I mean, I've kind of lived that. I mean, I didn't experience it myself, but I was with a guy. I lived in the Amazon years ago. I was shooting a doc. I was living with the Kayapo Indians for like 4 months in jungle hammocks, right? And you get out in the morning, the one thing they always told you is don't pee in the river.
Right,
you know, just don't do it. Because there's a fish that actually is a parasitic fish, and it usually swims up the urethra of cattle, and it lays its eggs, and then it dies, and then the eggs, the uric acid somehow triggers whatever. Anyway, you know, so you stand there, this fish will swim up your urethra.
Yes.
But now, what it is, it's like an umbrella swimming up your urethra, because when you grab the handle in the end and try to yank it out, these spines open up like an umbrella.
Oh.
So, and if you read Fodor's, the travel guide, they actually talk about this fish, and they say, to remove it, they say, the pain is exquisite.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
But then the guy pulls it out, and then he's got blood, and then there's actual
piranha? Yeah, well, I'm not going to give up the end, but that's not what
he dies.
Let's just say that.
Well, of course he dies. That's the name of the show.
What the hell is death by Vuvuzela?
Now, I got to admit, I'm copping to this right off the bat. There actually, nobody actually did die, but I got to tell you.
It's just a good tease?
It was just so annoying. Those Vuvuzelas, they were so annoying watching. After months of listening to that thing, I'm like, I needed to kill somebody with one.
All right.
So I looked at 13 different ways they could die, and I remember there's a trumpeter that died from an aneurysm from blowing too hard. And I realized, and I talked to the doctors, I said, yeah, absolutely, so the science. And so let's just say the guy, you know, he goes down in flames.
All right.
So now you just come up with methods to kill people versus ways they actually died.
Well, no, I'm copping to the fact that's the only one in the show. Everything else is real, but I just did that because it was just so freaking annoying.
What about death by hoarding?
Oh, well, that happens all the time. As a matter of fact, there was just an article in the paper not more than a week ago.
Yeah, I read that.
About a guy who lost his wife in his house.
Yes.
And he's like, he found her under a stack of junk. Same
but wasn't
thing.
It like years later? 4 months or years? How long? It was like a long time she was missing.
Mine was years later, but this one, now the guy lost her. Yeah, that's right. He lost her like 3 years before he hadn't seen her.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to her. Oh, yeah, she's under the pile in the corner.
Well, what about this? I mean, look at the stupid things. I mean, I'm actually, you know, life recreated. I mean, we've done stuff now, you know, if that happens again. I mean, that woman, did you, I don't know, read recently about that doctor, a 49-year-old woman who has a fight with her boyfriend, tries to get in his house, he locks her out, she goes around the back, starts beating on the door, he says, forget about this. He jumps in his car with a bag, and he leaves town.
Yep.
Little does he know that she climbs up and tries to get down and out through the chimney. She gets stuck there, and he comes back 3 days later, and she's dead.
Wow.
Sorry.
She was a ho-ho-ho.
Yes, she was.
Wow. All right, it all starts again tonight. Very excited on Spike TV, 10 o'clock, 1,000 Ways to Die.
Yeah, it's a Spike-a-thon tonight, actually. 1,000 Ways to Die, we own it. It's, you know, from 7 on, but the premiere's at 10. So
awesome.
If there's any episodes you missed from last season, you know, pick them up tonight.
You do good work, Tom.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for coming on the show. We appreciate it. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. I don't know what happened to Lightning, but usually it takes us about 4 days to get him to do something on the website. Hey, we're doing breakfast at Lincoln Park.
Yeah, I'll get to it next week.
Yep.
Understaffed.
Today he's got everything up.
I know.
Got the whole breakfast up.
Hmm.
Blogging, all kinds of stuff. I don't know who lit a fire under his ass, but I'm glad they did, and we need to find out how to do it again. Go to kevinandbean.com if you'd like to see it or listen to the Breakfast with Lincoln Park, which happened today. It's time for the Ralph Showbiz Feed.
He hasn't moved that fast since Breakfast with Limp Bizkit. Last time I saw him, really.
We never did.
Really see him motivated like that.
We never did that.
Oh, really?
No.
Huh. I need something to put in the hopper. Oh, it is on. It is on like Donkey Kong.
What's on?
The Twitter war.
Uh-oh.
Between Chelsea Handler and Perez Hilton.
Uh-oh.
Don't make me have to choose in that war. Because I might have to be a conscientious objector.
Is it possible they'll both go down in
it?
I
might have to go to Switzerland. Apparently, Perez was criticizing Chelsea's performance as host of the VMAs.
Which you have to come down firmly on his side with.
Everybody's been slapping her down.
She was terrible.
New York Times was great, just destroyed her. Perez actually was pretty even-handed, I thought, with his...
He was nicer than he could have been?
Yeah. Said she really didn't pull it off. For the most part, we were bored, just hoping she would shut the hell up so we could hear more music. Well... That set her off.
That set her off?
Oh, F off. I had a blast, and the show was awesome last night. Bomb. I guess he must have referenced that she bombed at some point.
Right.
Your life is a bomb.
No, she didn't.
See, it's that kind of clever humor that keeps Chelsea Handler at the top of the heap. And by heap, I mean poop heap.
She was terrible.
Perez responded, at least I didn't have to F my way to a talk show and sleep at the head of a network.
Oops.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Who did you orally pleasure to get the VMA hosting gig? I'm more than happy with my bomb life. It is DaBomb.com.
Nope.
Oh, come on.
He was ahead right till there. He just lost a point.
Then she said, just got word, highest rated VMA since 2002. Good job, MTV. Good job, kiddo. To herself.
She said good job to herself?
Yeah.
10 points subtracted from her.
So really,
Perez wins.
They're just quite the couple.
They should just go off together?
Does she really think people tuned in to see her? I was going to watch the videos, but I then found out Chelsea Handler was going to host. And then I said, all right, I'll suffer through Lady Gaga and Eminem and Kanye West and all the talented performers just to hear her jewels.
I don't know. I was not aware of her. I didn't know. I didn't watch her show anything. But I could tell that she was so happy with who she was and what she was saying. She was so thrilled.
She loves her some her.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she was bad.
More Twitter news. Oh, I don't know how I'm going to bounce back from this one. I just joined Twitter, for God's sakes.
Right. Yeah.
And now I have to deal with this. John Mayer has decided to quit Twitter.
Oh, my God. Oh, God.
He's a Twitter quitter.
It's over. If he quits, it's over.
Right.
It's over.
Why should I go on? Why bother?
Don't.
Twitter is over as we know it.
Three days before today, he tweeted, self-portrait of the artist 3 days before his metaphoric retirement.
Huh?
Wow. Get over it.
Yeah, really. By the way, he had 3.7 million followers on the social network. That's pretty significant.
It is.
Sure.
I don't know if it beats my 3,500, but...
Your 3,500 are better.
That's what I'm saying. They were until my Schwarzenegger joke. Some people are jumping off the boat left and right now.
As well they should.
How dare you! I was a little bored during the breakfast at Lincoln Park, and I had to keep myself entertained.
And that entertained you?
It did.
Okay.
George Clooney's girlfriend's a realist. That's what I like about her. That and the fact that she's smoking hot.
Yeah.
Hot.
Her name is Elisabetta Canalis. She's an Italian television personality. You don't have to give a bell to Italian television personalities.
They're all hot.
She tells Us Weekly magazine that she's really not expecting George to marry her. That may be the only thing that keeps her around.
Wow.
A friend says Elisabetta is happy and love is what's important to her. So the marriage and the license and the ring and everything, not a big deal for Elisabetta. She actually might mean it because Europeans have a little bit different sense of commitment and relationships than we do here in the States.
What about George Clooney moving on? Will that bug her?
That might. As long as he keeps her around, she might be okay. Yeah. You know, football season has started again.
Yeah.
Very exciting time of year, and apparently there's another cross-pollination between the world of show business and football when it comes to a relationship.
Uh-oh.
Kristen Cavallari.
Oh, good.
Or Cavallari, if you will. From the Hills and MTV. Apparently dating Chicago Bears quarterback Jay Cutler.
Really?
Yeah. He was dating the Detroit quarterback, and then they called back that touchdown the opening weekend. She switched sides immediately. She didn't listen to the rules. Demi Lovato is apparently dating We the Kings frontman Travis Clark. So a lot of relationship news going on.
Poor bastard.
Oh, come on. Why you gotta be like that? And Us Weekly magazine says that don't expect to see too much of Bristol Palin on Dancing with the Stars. Don't expect to see all her sexy body.
Not a big enough
lens. while she's on that show. I know you're all drooling. You're all chomping at the bit to get a glimpse at that titillating young lady.
She's not going to sex it up?
But her daughter, her mother, Sarah Palin, says that her costumes will be the most conservative out of everyone. Crystal says that's just how she wants to dress. She wants to be conservative and not as sexy as some of the other girls. She saves all her sexy, she says, for when she's whoring up and getting pregnant as a teenager.
Did she say that?
She said that. Wow, that was cool. Interesting.
That's rather honest.
Yeah, it's a little late to protect your virtue, don't you think, Crystal?
Yeah.
Once you're the unwed teen mother, doesn't that kind of go out the window? I say just let it out. Dance nude, Crystal.
Woo! I don't know that we want her to go that far, though.
I don't want that either, no. Quite frankly. It is Tuesday. It means it's new release day. New CDs in stores and on the various outlets where you can purchase music. 1,000 Suns by Linkin Park.
Get it.
Those hacks. We can say that now that it's over, right? The record's over. Suckers. Hurley, the deluxe version by Weezer is available today. Flamingo deluxe version by Brandon Flowers. Also, The Drums by The Drums. Band of Joy by Robert Plant is available today. And Barking by Underworld on DVD. Prince of Persia. The Sands of Time.
Am I the only one that saw that?
Yes.
Okay.
Why would you?
I don't know. Look good.
Oh, Jake Gyllenhaal looks dreamy with those abs and those hair extensions. Sign me up.
It was all right.
Although Gemma Arterton.
Oh, yes.
And she's,
she was amazing.
She's
amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Letters to Juliet. Remember that? Remember that movie about the girl who sticks a letter in the wall to Romeo and Juliet?
You saw that? Girl?
No, no. I just remember it. Right. It's the girl from Big Love. What's her name?
Amanda Seyfried.
Amanda Seyfried.
Going to jump across the table and choke her out.
See it? Jeez.
And Just Right, starring Queen Latifah in Common, about the NBA player who decides to date Queen Latifah. It's a science fiction film.
I missed that one, too.
Come on, please.
You expect us to buy that? On DVD, DVDs, TV, DVDs?
Yeah.
What?
Huh?
Glee, the first season, first complete season. It's available in stores, or Kevin can burn one for you.
How dare you?
Pirate. Arr.
Pirate in it?
Arr. Fringe, the complete second season, is available on DVD as well.
That's box worth having.
New Fringe is right around the corner.
I know.
Oh,
I can't
you
wait.
Know, she's still trapped on the other side. She's still trapped in the other dimension.
I know.
In that thing. Let me out! She said at the end of last season. I'm very excited. Big Bang Theory, complete third season, is available. Grey's Anatomy, the complete sixth season. And The Good Wife, if you didn't catch that show over on CBS, one of the best new dramas of last year. The first season's available on DVD. You can check that out. Today's celebrity birthdays. Dan Cortez is 42 years old today. Bassist Craig Montoya of Everclear turns 40 years old. And singer Amy Winehouse celebrates her 27th birthday.
Yeah. Did you say 47?
27th birthday.
37.
She has. She's now has a year of age for every tooth she has in her head. And I think that is quite a remarkable achievement. My name is Ralph Garman. I welcome to Showbiz Beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We're going to ask for your zombie escape plan. I don't know if you saw the Resident Evil Afterlife this weekend, but the zombies are not walking slowly like your parents' zombies did.
I told you mine.
Apparently, they've evolved. I
told you my plan.
They run, and they can tunnel. And they are fast.
That's bad news.
Ralph's plan is just to give up.
Surrender. That's my plan. That's not my zombie plan. Surrender.
We've done this before, and people actually do have escape plans for when the zombies attack.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they're serious about it. And I love that about them. We're also going to have Kristen Schaal in.
Oh, so funny.
She has written a book called The Sexy Book of Sexy Sex.
You may remember her as the groupie of Flight of the Conchords on that series on HBO.
Oh, okay.
So funny.
Yeah, she's great.
Tickets for Epicenter 2010 tomorrow. And a guy by the name of Tom Willis.
Oh, that's right. Your buddy Tom Willis.
Who is sans arms.
He is an inspirational phenomenon who tours the country speaking about overcoming handicaps. He has no arms, and yet he will still continue to throw out first pitches at baseball parks around this great land.
And
of
Ralph
ours.
Wrote a post
and
that
Kevin
said...
And Kevin said, F you, guy with no arms. But stop trying to throw baseballs. You just lay down and die, basically.
I didn't say that.
And any young people who have any handicaps... Just die and just suck it up and you lose and I win because I have all my limbs.
That's an exaggeration.
It's not, and I'm glad he's coming in, and I'm going to hold you down while he kicks you about the face and neck because you're a bad, bad person.
This is going to be great radio.
That's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Kat Corbett is up next. She's got 40 minutes nonstop. She's got the latest from Linkin Park. They played it this morning, Waiting for the End. She's got New Bad Religion. She's got Muse, all part of 40 minutes nonstop.